morning I'd like to share with you a message about the miraculous. We've been believing for the miraculous for some time, and we serve a God of the miraculous. And I want to talk to you today about a new wave of the miraculous that I believe is going to be happening right here in our own community and also in communities around us and in our nation as well. The Bible verse I'd like to read is found in James chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. So if you have your Bibles there, you want to follow along, you can turn there. We're reading from the New Living Translation. And I want to share today about the miraculous, about healing. And then at the end of the service, we're going to have an opportunity that if you're in need of a miracle, if you're in need of a healing, that we'll take that opportunity to be praying for you today. So James chapter 5, 13 to 16. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. May the Lord add His blessing to His word this morning. Well, this morning I want to share with you about healing. Now, early this week as I was pondering about, you know, what to speak on, I was asking the Lord, Lord, I'd like to for you to speak to me early this week. I just want to get this message done early this week And Lord, just direct me into what I am to speak. And as I was leaving the house, the Lord just said, bring your iPad with you. And off I went to the church. And just before I got out the door, the phone rang. And as the phone rang, it was a person that was having surgery and they needed prayer. And we were able to pray with them. As I got to church, there was a kind of a lineup to see the pastor. And most of those people were there that had a need and they needed prayer for healing. And then a prophetic word kind of came there as well. And so I was wondering, well, what should I speak on? I kind of thought, hey, this is a no-brainer. I need to speak about healing. And as I was looking at some of those passages and articles on healing, I really felt impressed to speak and declare that we are entering into a new wave of the miraculous. There have been many waves of the miraculous in our history and in our denomination. But I'm believing for a fresh one, a new wave of the miraculous to be happening right here. Now, we have seen many people used of God throughout the years, even here in Canada. And I was just kind of looking in our own denomination and just looking at some of those names in our own denomination, like Alexander Dowie, Mary Woodworth Eder, Charles Parham, Amy Simple McPherson, Charles Price, Jack Sanders, A.H. Argue, Catherine Kuhlman. And that's just some of those in our Pentecostal history that have been used of God in the area of miracles. I also found it interesting. I was looking through some old articles and old testimony back in the 80s, and it was talking about some things that happened back in the 1920s in Alberta. And so that kind of caught my attention, and there's two of them. I just like these two little stories I want to share with you that happened in Edmonton back in the 1920s. And one of those was recorded in 1922. Evangelist Jack Sanders was preaching on divine healing in Edmonton when a local minister challenged him on healing. And that minister encouraged, got four other guys to go in cahoot with him. And they brought this person who was invalid that couldn't walk, and they brought him on a stretcher. And they brought him right up to the front of the minister there that day of Sanders, and they openly challenged the evangelist, saying, here, mister, is someone that you can start on. And the story goes that the evangelist took his anointing oil, but before he ever got down off the platform, the power of God came down, touched that man that was in the stretcher, totally healed him. He got up and started walking, and the four men that brought him on the stretcher ran out of the building, terrified for their lives. But that's a true story that happened back in the 1922 in Edmonton. Another testimony in Edmonton I read was about the healing of Lorne Fox, who was carried to a meeting in Edmonton where Charles Price was speaking in 1923. And Fox had suffered 19 heart attacks. And when Price prayed for him, he was instantly healed and later became an evangelist and a healing evangelist himself back in that time. And so it's kind of interesting that there have been waves of the miraculous that have flowed throughout our history. And we could go through time and give you all kinds of stories just like that of what God has been doing throughout the ages. And since that time, you know, God has raised up many healing evangelists throughout the world. But I really believe that we are in a change, and actually it's already taking place where God's not necessarily raising up a whole bunch of healing evangelists. Rather, he's just simply raising up his own people that they might go out, that they might pray for the sick, and that the sick would be well. So God is doing extraordinary things through ordinary people. And I believe that's kind of the shift that's happening in this new wave of the miraculous that is happening around our world, and I believe for our nation of Canada. I am believing for that right here in St. Paul. And I'm also believing for the real miracles, I would like to call them. Although every miracle is a miracle, every healing is a healing that we all appreciate. But I'm really believing for the big stuff. And I'm believing that cancer will be gone, that limbs will be healed, diseases will be gone, people will be raised out of the wheelchairs, and even the dead will be raised. You know, God brought me back to my remembrance, something that he told me to declare in one of the meetings that Rick Rosichuk had in Bounteville. I think that was about a year and a half ago. And they asked me just to share a verse of Scripture or share something of what God was doing in this area. And I asked the Lord, what should I share? And the Lord brought me to this passage in Mark chapter 11, 4 to 5. And it says, go back to John and tell him what you've heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is preached to the poor. So I'm expecting that to happen right here. I'm expecting the miraculous to happen in this church, in this nation, in this area, and I know that many of you are too. And it's going to be far greater, far larger than any other move that has touched our world or touched our nation. And I really believe that God is going to be doing extraordinary things through you, through each of us in this place. And so as we think about those things, what can we do to speed this wave of the miraculous to happen right here? And that's what I want to share with you just for a few moments here this morning before we take the opportunity to actually to pray for one another in our service here today. So some things that we can do to speed the miraculous to happen right here. Now, one of these things that we can do to speed this new wave of the miraculous is to keep on praising the Lord. See, the Lord loves the praises of His people, and He often responds when people praise Him. And you saw a good demonstration of that here this morning, that when we take the time to enter in, when we take the time to praise Him, He responds to the praises of His people. There have been many in this church that have testified that during praise and worship, God met with them, God encountered them, God touched them, God healed them. I still have a cane in my office of a lady that came to our church. She got healed, and she came to the front after the service, and she said, I'm not here for prayer. I just came to tell you that during the worship time, during your service, I got healed, and I don't need this cane anymore, so I want to give it to you that you can keep it here. And see, God does that in that atmosphere. There's an atmosphere of the miraculous when God's people enter in during praise and worship. And to me, that's so very, very important here in our church that I desire that. I want that. I encourage that. At camp this summer, you know, they want me to break it all up with all these announcements. I said, no, we want to praise the Lord. We want to worship the Lord and give God place for God to move and for God to touch people. Psalm 103 kind of gives us an excellent example of that praise. Some of you might remember Steve Franco. Might remember that elderly gentleman. And comes from Psalm 103, 1-3. It says, let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise His holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things that He does for me. He forgives all my sins. and heals all my diseases. Now, if you knew old Steve Franco, he didn't say it that way. He said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord and don't forget his benefits. And he used to just cry that out and just repeat it. And he used to repeat the whole psalm. A beautiful, beautiful thing. But again, it's a psalm that reminds us that praise opens the door to the miraculous. You know, heartfelt praise touches God's heart. God moves in that midst. And never underestimate the power of praise and worship. You know, I really appreciate it. We had a really full team up here. And everybody just entering in, helping one another, ministering together. And it is a wonderful thing because you don't realize sometimes the power that gives out into our services. People start to respond and enter in because in that presence, in that atmosphere, there is healing. There is the miraculous. So if we want to speed the miraculous, keep on praising. Keep on lifting your voices unto the God. Keep on entering in those worship times. Keep praising the Lord. Now, secondly, in keeping and believing in healing, speed the miraculous, we need to keep believing in healing itself. You know, God still heals today. God is our healer. We need to believe that. We need to confess that. We need to declare that yes, we believe in healing. It's what the Scriptures declare from the Old Testament right through to the New Testament. Exodus 15:26, the Lord says, for I am the Lord who heals you. Our God is a God who heals. We serve a God that heals us of all our diseases. So nothing is too hard for Him to do. And we need to believe that and keep believing that, declaring that, professing that our God heals. Jeremiah 32:27, the Lord again is saying, I am the Lord, the God of all the peoples of the world. Is anything too hard for me? New Testament, Mark chapter 9, Jesus is being challenged whether or not he can heal and deliver. And Jesus says, what do you mean if I can? Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. Sometimes there's a beautiful song, Hillsong sings, all things are possible. Well, it's from that scripture. All things are possible with God. And so we need to keep our faith alive, professing and praying and believing for the miraculous. It will happen. The miracles, the big miracles will come. We just need to keep believing and confessing our God heals. Third way to spread this miraculous or to speed this miraculous is to keep making things right. Making right choices. Choosing to do the right things. So whatever area of work that needs to be done in our own lives or an area in our lives that we may need to change, we need to do so and then to keep on top of ourselves. That, you know, as we go through life, there's always things that can haul us this way or haul us that way. And we need to keep saying, no, I am going to serve the Lord. I'm going to make sure that I position myself rightly with God. I'm going to live rightly and serve Him rightly. See, a right lifestyle is still important. A godly lifestyle still matters. Listening to the Holy Spirit, obeying the voice of the Holy Spirit when He speaks to us and He says to us that, I want you to stop this. You know, friends, when God says that, it's not up for a conversation. It's not up for saying, well, Lord, I don't know if it's really that wrong, so why are you bothering? It's just if God says you not to do something, just don't do it. It's not a thing to question. And we need to learn that, to listen to His voice, to deal with those things in our lives, whether there be sin, whether it be a hindrance, whether it be anything that's affecting our relationship with God. We need to position ourselves as a candidate to be used of God. So keep making things right in our lives. Exodus 15:26, it says, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, obeying His commands, keeping all of His decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. See, we're to keep working on our lives, examining ourselves, repenting when necessary, making changes when necessary, doing what we have to do to make things right with God. You'll remember maybe, I think it was about a month or so ago, I spoke that it's time to consecrate ourselves for what God is going to do. Now, part of what God is going to do is to release a wave of the supernatural and the miraculous. And for Him to do that, there needs to be that place where we consecrate our lives unto God, where we make things right with God. So our job is to get ready for it, prepare ourselves spiritually for it, keep making things right, keep working on our lives. Fourthly, in speeding the wave of healing, we need to keep declaring healing. Speak it, proclaim it, preach it, testify of it, get the message out there that people can know, that people can hear, that people can believe that God is still able to heal. Now next week, we're going to be putting up some signs in the land over here. We've had them ready for some time, but we're finally getting them up. And one of those signs is going to say, healing. It's going to be big letters out there. And so as people drive by, they're going to see that this church believes in healing. And so we better be ready to start praying for people that they may be healed. And so keep declaring healing. We're going to put that right on the sign to say that we believe in healing. Now that's one of the reasons why so many people came to Jesus. Jesus preached it. He taught healing. He prayed over people. He healed them. And then people spread the message to the others that would hear, and they would come and they would be healed. Huge crowds followed Jesus because they experienced and they saw the miraculous. And we have a generation out there today that is really looking for the miraculous. There is a hunger for the miraculous. There's a hunger for the supernatural. You'll notice even in the movies today, there's so many of these supernatural type movies that are out there with superpowers that people have. There's a hunger and a longing for the supernatural. Well, God says, I have it for you. And it comes in healing. It comes in miracles. And God is wanting to portray that to our world today. The people in Jesus' day, they received healing because they heard. They heard it, they received it, and they believed it. And so, friends, we need to really be testifying and telling people that we experience healing as well. You know, too often we experience a healing and we keep it all to ourselves. We don't tell anybody that we got healed. And I got thinking, well, why don't we do that? And I'm thinking, well, it's because it's the first thought that comes to our mind. Was I really healed? I'm not sure. I better not say anything because maybe it's not going to work out. Or maybe, you know, it might come back. And so we don't say that we're healed. And sometimes it does come back because we don't give God the glory. And say, yes, I received a healing today. So when we look at this area of keep talking about healing, share your testimony. Tell others about your healing. Tell others that God has done miracles for you. When we start to talk to somebody else, we should start off with our own testimony of what God has done for us. Now, Jesus commissioned disciples to go out and to heal the sick. The next set of disciples were 70 set of disciples. And Jesus said the same thing to them, to go out and heal the sick. And then as we come to that in Luke chapter 10, where Jesus says, heal the sick, and tell them the kingdom of God is near you now. See, it's a message not just that disciples need to share, but every disciple of Christ, every believer of Christ needs to be sharing that message that Jesus heals today, and that we ourselves are to go out there and be praying for one another that others would be healed. It's supposed to be a sign of the believer that they would experience miracles, that they would experience healings. We also should be encouraged because it tells us in John 14:12, I tell you the truth, Jesus says, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I'm going to the Father. See, we should be expecting people to be healed, and we should be expecting even greater miracles than what we see even in the Bible. Because Jesus tells us that you're going to do greater works. You're going to do greater things are going to happen through you. And that's why I'm believing for a new wave of the miraculous to be poured out in this area and also in our nation. But we need to declare that afresh and keep declaring it. God heals. Fourth way to speed the way of the miraculous, or fifth, is to keep seeking the gifts of the Holy Spirit. See, God wants healing in the church. God wants every Christian to operate in the various gifts of the Spirit. And each of us, the Bible says, need to be seeking those gifts of the Spirit. Gifts that affect the miraculous in our lives and in our church. Now, Scripture records in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10, what those gifts are for the church. It says, to one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives a great faith to another. To someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. So these gifts are given to the church. They are for the body of Christ. They complete the body of Christ, and these gifts are for today. And God wants the church to be operating in the supernatural. God wants the church to be operating in the supernatural gifts of faith, of healing, working of miracles, and all the other gifts as well. All the gifts are needed. But we're to seek the Holy Spirit. We're to seek the Holy Spirit, that He might grant us these gifts, and that we might move in these gifts, that we might encourage the church, that we might uplift the church, that we might comfort the people of God. And see, God is wanting to see a new wave of healing on this earth. And I really believe they're in for the greatest time of our lives and the greatest testimonies of our lives. You know, we have people, even in our own church, and they come up here in the wheelchairs, and sometimes there's a real huge group of them that come. And a lot of them will tell us, like, I'm expecting to be healed. I want to be healed. And so I believe God's hearing that, and He's bringing them here. And they're doing a great job testifying and sharing their faith where they're at. But I'm believing that God's going to raise up our people in our wheelchairs. And as all those gifts start operating, it's going to definitely speed up the miraculous in our midst. Two more things. The sixth way to speed this wave of the miraculous is to keep laying on of hands. It's a biblical principle and practice that's taught throughout Scripture that when we pray for people, a touch, a point of contact is important, where it speaks of the laying on of hands. Now, appropriate approach, especially if somebody is new, is to ask permission to touch them. And usually as we lay our hands on people to pray, appropriate places would be like on the arm, the shoulder, holding their hands, and sometimes the head. The kids like me to touch their head. One kid said to me this morning, you touched me in the face, you got to touch me on the head. So they were correcting me there, so I made sure I touched them on the head. But in that whole area, you know, we need to be careful, because there are some people that don't like to be touched. And you need to be sensitive to that person or to that individual. You know, a lot of things have happened to people in their lives. There's been abuse in people's lives. And sometimes they don't want to be touched by anybody. And so you've got to be aware of those kind of situations and circumstances. And so a good approach is, you know, to ask them if you don't know them. Usually if we know each other here, we know that it's okay to touch them or to grab their hands or whatever, to pray for them. And also realizing people can get carried away in that area as well. And so just a light touch is all that necessary. You know, you don't need to grab them and shake them and throw them around. And but, you know, sometimes you might see an evangelist that gets doing that. And, you know, friends, sometimes people get excited. Give grace for that. Give grace for that. Sometimes people get excited and they grab you. You know, some of them old preachers, they used to slap you. My goodness. They used to kick you. You know, there's this true story recorded in history where the pastor actually booted a baby, and the baby came back to life. So, I'm not saying anyone would do that here. But, you know, sometimes there's an excitement that happens with an evangelist. Just give them some grace. When Barry Mercule was here a few weeks back, and I asked him to be praying for my sinuses because I've been having trouble with my sinuses. And so he decided that the perfect opportunity would be as we're driving to go to the restaurant. Now, I don't know if Crystal knew that or if we're, because we were driving beside you. So he's praying for me, and I said, well, I'm going to keep my eyes open. So he's praying for me in the car, and then all of a sudden he's over there on top of my nose as I'm driving, and he's praying for me. I think, okay, I wonder what people are thinking. Well, it's Crystal beside me. She's driving beside me, so we should be okay. So give them grace sometimes because they may do some unusual things like that. Anyway, many scriptures supporting that practice of laying on of hands. Mark 16:18, they'll be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. That's supposed to be a sign of a believer. Acts 9:17-18, when Ananias went and found Saul, he laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight, got up, and was baptized. So the early apostles, that was a common practice to lay hands on people as they prayed for them, or even when they were commissioning someone into the ministry. And so if you see that here in the church, well, that's just something that the Bible talks about, that it's a very good thing to do, a necessary thing to do, that as we're praying for one another, that form of touch, that we might pray for one another, that we may be healed. And then the last one is keep anointing with oil. So a last practice we can do to speed this wave of the miraculous is keep anointing with oil. And you'll probably notice I have lots of oil that's laid out up front here. And that's for, I'm going to ask our staff and our board and their spouses to come at the end of the service that we can pray for you. And, sometimes we put in a little basket. And when we have oil up there, that's for the people praying. So please don't take them. I've been caught a few times where I've gone to get some oil and there's no oil. And I know Mac ours carries one in his pocket, so I know I'll get it from him. But the Lord's really been speaking to me a lot about make sure you have oil on you. Where's that come from? James 5:14-15, the verses we already read earlier at the start of the message. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you committed any sins, you will be forgiven. So a normal practice for healing in the church is to ask for the leaders of the church to pray for you and anoint you with oil. That is a general practice. The Bible also talks about that we as the body of Christ can also be praying one for another as well. But this morning we're going to be practicing that part of the scriptures. Now, is oil important? You know, it may not seem so, but, you know, it is important because the Bible says, use the oil. Use that oil in the name of the Lord. So what's the oil? It's representing the Lord. It's not representing your faith. It's representing the Lord's. And that you anoint that person. Again, oil is also a symbol of the Holy Spirit. So you're just putting a little dab will do you. You don't have to pour it all over you. I know we've had a few evangelists that got excited and they just dump it over you. But just a little dab will do you. But it is to remind you that it is the Lord that heals. The Lord is our healer. It is not an individual. It is not a person. It is not an evangelist. It is the Lord who heals. And so we need to be mindful of that, because that would be one of the reasons why often revivals have stopped, or why the miraculous has stopped, because people start taking the credit for themselves instead of giving it to the Lord. Simply, we should use oil because it says so. I know we had an incident here, I guess it'd be a couple of years back or whatever, and we were praying for an individual, and the Lord just told me, he said, go out and get the oil. And this was quite an unusual case, and some stuff was really happening there. So I said, well, I can't leave the room, like we're really into this prayer. And this person was manifesting and all kinds of things. And the Lord said, go get the oil. So I obeyed, got the oil, anointed with oil. And my goodness, everything just changed when that happened. And from that day on, the Lord spoke to me immediately upon that and asked me a question. It was almost like I was transferred from back there to the front of the church. And I'm praying for people, and the Lord asked me a question. Where's the oil? And I said, well, Lord, it's right over there. And you ever get those little conversations with the Lord where it's like, uh-huh? You know what it means. And it's been really humorous, I've been finding, too, these last probably 2 to 3 weeks that wherever I go and I'm praying for somebody, God says, "Where's the oil?" And I say, "Oh yeah, I got it." Or there's one case I forgot the oil. I didn't have any on me, so I prayed for the person, but I went back the next day and prayed for them. And then another time when I was praying for them again in the hospital, and I was halfway through the prayer, and the Lord saying, "You didn't anoint him with oil." I said, okay. So I stopped praying and anointed with oil, and then we started again. Is the oil important? Obviously so. God wants you to use the oil as you anoint with one another and follow the scriptures that declare the Lord is our healer, and anoint with oil. So that's why there's oil here, and don't be scared. There's just little tiny ones here, so just be a little dab on you. We're not going to ruin your clothes or anything like that as we anoint you with oil. So as we close here this morning, I just want to declare that we are a church that believe that God still heals today. Now, I realize in this whole area of the supernatural, the whole area of the miraculous, there's lots of questions. Well, why and how come and why did that person get touched? Why did that person not get touched? And we have all those kinds of things that sometimes that's what we dwell on instead of the simple fact God heals. And friends, our job is to pray. Our job is to believe. It's God's job to determine the results. And so we need to leave results with Him, but do what God calls us to do, and that is to pray for one another that we may be healed. So I'm believing for a great wave to sweep over us in this church, this area, our nation. A wave of the miraculous, I believe, is coming, and we need to just keep doing what we're doing, applying these principles afresh today, and we will see it happen. And I know within many of you here today, I've also heard many of you have been sharing how God has been speaking to you and saying, you're going to be used in the area of healing. And I know numbers of you in this congregation have had that happen to you, where you just heard that witness or you heard a voice say to you, you're going to be used in healing. And you need to believe that, because God is wanting to use ordinary people to do extraordinary things.